Greetings and blessings to you, listeners. My name is Sunshine Trisiter, and I am bringing you the Pagan Perspectives podcast. I am journeying around the world, and as I do, I am calling together the voices of the pagan community. So make yourself a cup of tea and come and join us for an inspirational sharing of pagan voices.
I don't need anything but a drink of water.
I don't need anything but a drink of water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. I don't need anything but a drink of water. I don't need anything but a drink of water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. I don't need anything but a drink of water. I don't need anything but a drink of water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. I don't need anything but a drink of water. I don't need anything but a drink of water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. I don't need anything but a drink of water. I don't need anything but a drink of water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the water.
And you were just listening to A Drink of Water by my dear sister, Copper Woman. We'll be showcasing her music throughout this interview today, so please check out the links in the episode notes in order to see her music, her CDs, and her songbooks. And now let us turn to my interview with Sarah Humble, another dear sister of mine. She is a sacred well keeper. She gave birth to the All Is Well initiative. She is on the Fairy Council, and she just concluded an amazing pilgrimage, Schulenkrak, which she will tell you all about in this interview. So now let us take a deep drink of water from Sarah's well of wisdom. Blessed be.
Good day, family. My name is Sunshine, and I am bringing you the Pagan Perspective this morning. I am currently in the wilds of Ireland with my fairy friend who tends sacred wells and holy springs here in her homeland of Ireland. So I welcome you, Sarah.
Thank you.
And here in this forest, this beautiful, surrounded by beech trees.
There's a bit of beech here. There's some holly. I see an ash tree. There's a couple of really, really delicious oak trees that must be about at least 350 years old in this forest. And the forest is kissing the River Bonnet.
The River Bonnet, which we are sitting next to.
Yeah, the River Bonnet joins the River Garryvaux, and it does a semicircle around a really ancient town called Manahamilton, mm-hmm. in County Leitrim, northwest of Ireland.
Mm, beautiful. I'm sitting here with Sarah and her sweet little dog. And Sarah, I'd like to invite you to talk about the wells here in Ireland and the tradition of tending them.
Ireland is a sacred spring. And we have reputed over 3,000 holy wells upon this land. These wells are unique in the way that they contain high content of minerals needed for our health. And the springs are so varied that within half a mile of each other you can have two different water sources. Cures are associated with them. They were passed down from lineage to lineage, sometimes from household to household, generally on the location. They used to be meeting points when, before we had piped water in, where whole communities would gather. So I'm a Tupperware, which means a well keeper. I'm a nationwide Tupperware. My calling is to try and regenerate as much community in and around the local wells and holy springs and sacred sources for our health as you possibly can. As you can imagine, with 3,000 holy wells, you can't possibly caretake them all individually. And for such a sacred and precious resource, it will take each community taking personal accountability for their locals. Water sources. So that's what my project All As Well is all about.
Tober meaning well.
Mm-hmm.
Or spring.
And Cumahor. So it was, Irish is still an evolving language. Mm-hmm. Despite what reports say, it is not dead. So I was sitting with a Gaelgor, and I only have a couple focal, which means a couple of words in Irish. So I refer in to people who can speak quite fluently, and I was asking them what a well keeper would be, or squelga in Irish. And she was saying, well, tobal cormor hor, which would be well caretaker. And she says, but you could shorten it by dropping the C-O-M-H and it becomes tobal hor.
Mm-hmm.
Which means well keeper. So you're taking not necessarily the care out of it, but simplifying the word to articulate, because simplicity is important.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a well keeper, as a tober whore,
mm-hmm.
I would like to invite you to call in the four directions in your, as it flows through your heart from this island.
Thank you. First, I call him presence, the presence of being. And I ask that presence to be grounded with the feel of the soil tickling against your feet. With the awareness of how the breath passes in and out of your body. First, I call in the East for the rise of the sacred masculine in its budding evolution. May the men of the island and all islands that extend from this island rise with dignity, care, compassion and grace, embodying their sacred masculinity so that the world may benefit from their strength and their wisdom, their safety and their protection that they can offer in this time. I move to the south and I call in the God of Light, Lu, whose path we journey down through his conception, through his family, and through his life story at the pace of a snail, because it is an archetype, one well worth knowing. I call in the West, the rise of the sacred feminine, the emotion, the ability to go into the depths of the shadow, into the dark, the ever-smiling, beautiful-smelling, embracing, birthing energy. Within the West, we hold the water being the connection, one that we all share. I call in the crone, Vicalia, the wise woman, as I call in the north, the bitterness of the northern winds that take your breath away, but leave you humbled and in grace for all the abundance. I wish well who here upon this journey of the ground below the feet and the sky above, with the endeavor ever-changing watery clouds. I bring breath of blessings from the Irish water to soothe and nourish all those who feel parched. We offer the gift of Ireland being home, and I ask everybody to come home to the fire. Grog is Bianchi.
Blessed be. And we are sitting in sacred space. Everything that surrounds us and is within us is holy. We are in wholeness. We are in perfection. We are in sacred space. So I got to meet Sarah last year when I came to Ireland. I came for the fall equinox in a place called Loch Rú here in Ireland. And you began to tell me then, Sarah, about your All Is Well mission. So I'd love for you to share that with our listeners here. As the well tender
takes a sup of water.
Tobar. Yes.
On top of her. A complete accidental evolution of trust and faith and reconnection of myself through water that I was encouraged to share on a wider forum. And I've just been on this beautiful evolutionary journey for the last 4 years through the Holy Wells of Ireland, which has given me so much of my understanding and coming into a wholeness, as you said earlier. I think it was what sustained me in this becoming aware, becoming awake. Mm-hmm. And it is my act of participation in giving back, which I feel is the truth of my spirituality, mm-hmm. and where that lays. I really believe that we live within the elements, and the elements are not dead things. Mm-hmm. The water is alive. You can hear the river bonnet burbling and gurgling and chattering. It almost sounds like white noise before the amount of voices that this water
singing.
This is one of the beautiful things I've discovered about water in working with the wells. So as you clean a well, and I'm a very practical woman, so it's a very hands-on endeavor where you look at the well and you see it as your kitchen sink. Uh-huh. And you want to scrape out the bottom, you know, you want to make sure that the bottom of the kitchen sink is nice and tidy. And the sides, you know, you get all them little spots of moss or algae or anything that does not actually serve the health of the water out of there. And then you sit back. Mm-hmm. And you just be. And you be present. And you listen. And you take some time. And you watch. And in the watching, you begin to see how the water is flowing out of the well. So so we don't end up with the Noah's flood situation or the situation that Bowen found herself in. Because no doubt that woman, so the Bowen is connected in with the River Bowen, which is down in the Bowen Valley. And the story that goes behind the River Bowen was that she went towards a well that she was not supposed to, and the well swelled up and chased her down to the sea.
The goddess Bowen.
So she drowned inside the river. Uh-huh. Possibly she was a good-natured human being that was just trying to clean the well and forgot to check the outlet channel. So this is the first step of practicality. Find how things leave.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So you watch how the water flows out and you begin to clear the outlet channels so that the water always has a way to get out. You know, trapped emotions, water isn't connected with emotions, tends to create blockages and overswellings, and then everybody gets into floods of tears. So then you sit back and you watch a little bit more, and the well itself will begin to gurgle at that stage. There's more sound, there's a layering of the sound, so the first sound you might hear is the drip and the drop, and you'll be able to hear into the blockages. And then when you release the outflow, a gurgle begins to come in, and you'll be able to see where the spring is coming and check to see where the inlet is coming in. And that's the next place you go to when you clean out the inlet. And you can continue just to sit and be in participation with the well, giving it space in the same way as we would give you space in this time talking to each other, where we wait till the words are finished. So you listen to the words of nature, is what I've experienced with the wells. And the more you listen, the more you can be in servitude.
And patience.
There's this strange phenomenon of tourism, where somebody who's tourism of a place will arrive, stand there, stare at the thing, perhaps take a photograph, and then turn and promptly walk out.
You called that Americanized the other day to me. I was like,
no, that's the speed one. That's when you fast forward everything and you see the whole island in a week. It's a really quick version of it. The Irish tourism generally consists of coming to these places and never getting out of the car. And they'll sit in the car and then they'll drive away again and stare at the places outside the window. I've watched that on many seasides and many forests. Now, the rain might have something to do with that, but that's called windowitis, is the name that I've given it.
Windowitis. Oh.
So when you're sitting inside a house and staring out the window, the rain driving against the window pane often gives you something called windowitis, where you begin to fear the elements outside. But actually, if you are actually out in that rain can quite often be quite a life-reviving experience that just tickles your soul and makes you happy. Mm-hmm. Do you know? So I think gratitude definitely comes from being outdoors. Yeah. You can't help but be in gratitude.
Oh, I agree with that. So all is well. You have a Facebook page I know of. What else? How can the listeners tune in?
So currently, as you know, but for your listeners, I'm on a pilgrimage in Ireland. It was a pilgrimage, a continuation of something that started in 2018, where we decided to walk the crack.
Crack. You have to explain to everybody what that is, because it means something so different in the United States than it does here.
The Irish version of the crack is the Kundalini. It's the energy that we Irish raise in our spirituality, in our gratitude, and in our way of dealing with life. So if you can have the crack in Ireland, it means having lots of quick conversations that have a lot of laughter, a lot of communication, a lot of joy.
Ribbing too, there's a little bit of like...
You know, if you get, the crack is being quick-tongued and eloquent in the way that, you know, it's a dance between two individuals that meet each other, how much fun they can whack out of a situation.
All while not taking any of it seriously.
Exactly. But there are so many different layers to the crack, you know. Having the crack helped us get through times of famine.
Yes.
A lot of people are very aware of the Irish famine and how it created mass amounts of emigration. It has gotten us through colonization. It has gotten us through very, very hard times of interpersonal modern day politics that has created war torn areas on this island. And huge divides, not only on an island, but because we are so small in families. I walked along the border. So Siúl an Chnoic is what we're doing at the moment. Siúl, S U Fada I L An Chnoic, A N C R A I C is how you spell Chnoic, and it's raise the Chnoic. So 2018 we started in Ballinskellig to raise the Chnoic around Ireland, you know, to help spread joy and happiness and enjoyment, music, stories, laughter, these sorts of things that really help hold people wherever they may be in life. And we went through Ballinskellig and followed our way through the Holy Wells and the sacred sites. And I was giving support in with my van and meeting people coming in and meeting people coming out and creating events in and around that time. It took us 4 months and we got as far as Slane. We were originally going from the kingdom to the crown. And innately, as we knew when the time to start, which was Lunasa, the 5th of August was the last walk, we knew there was time just to stop it, even though we hadn't reached the kingdom, because we realized we were holding something very, very precious in our understanding of this land and the understanding that we had gotten of how many solutions there are along this land.
Mm-hmm.
And to do proper honor, same way with the wells, you need patience.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took the patience, and then this worldwide look at the squirrel, that's a red squirrel that you mm-hmm. see up in the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see the red and the grey. The red squirrels generally indicate that there is no grey squirrels, they're the indigenous ones. Mm. And they've got these beautiful coppers and golds. It's over here on this tree now, right behind you. Sorry, I got distracted by the present. When you see something so delicious, it's important to recognize it.
I agree. Siúl an Chnoic.
So this situation that has affected all of our lives in deep ways made me realize that traveling the country, investigating what wells still exist, restoring and managing them could actually help increase the amount of fear that people were experiencing. And now do I want to be upsetting people from what I feel I need to do. So I realized that it was time to restart the walk. And as we're restarting the walk, I decided that it needed to be a homecoming, because I really believe that worldwide we're all in this bid to come home to ourselves, come home to our tribes. I hear stories from visitors to this land of how many tribes, indigenous tribes, First Nations, different American Indians, the Maori, the Scottish, the Norwegians, you know, there's so many people in an endeavor to come home to old ways of being. I feel that we all need to come home, maybe to ourselves and maybe home to the fire. Our inner fire being the Mani Puri, you know, I'm a yoga teacher by trade. So I've learned a lot of yogic and ways of supporting my remembrance of our ancient ways as Indigenous Irish within people.
Mm-hmm.
This walk has really supported that journey and the journey through the wells. So as we're walking from Donegal, we started...
On this journey. Yes.
So earlier when we were talking over coffee, I started talking about how on the first journey we found ourselves entering into active participation with the story of the goddess Anya.
Anya.
Anya comes from Mountain Knock Anya in County Limerick. It's in the southern Munster part of the island.
Okay.
And it is a stone circle of the largest proportions in the whole island, of 113 stones.
Mm.
The 114th stone is aligned with the Venus star and also the temple there of Ara over in Egypt. So there are many people of knowledge that lend their strands to how we remember what it is to be Indigenous Irish and how to interact with our sacred spaces. Mm-hmm. And we are slowly but surely building community here in the Indigenous ways, with circle principles, where there is space for everybody to be themselves in self-sufficiency and accountability. The goddess Anya. Oh, what a treasure of an archetype to be able to have journeyed with. She is known as Queen of the Fairies, the goddess of the summer. She is represented by the swan, which is healing, the red mare, which has the flight, the courage, the beauty, the prance. She's also represented by the rabbit, that timid, shy wee creature, and she also loved the company of men. So she was a woman that admired the world. She's a goddess of love. In my entrance into learning about who this archetype is, I have been taught so many wonderful, beautiful, difficult lessons in how to conduct myself in the manner of love. She helped me come into the sovereignty of not only myself, but my heart. And I feel that this transferred to anybody who had active participation with the last walk. Mm-hmm. In this one, I was talking about the cosmology that's been explained to me about the goddess Anya. So Anya is in alignment with the planet Venus. Mm-hmm. And the pattern of Venus is the same patternation that tracks Anya's story through the landscape. Orion seems to be very present within the skies. And our archetype that resembles Orion would be Lu of the Long Arm.
A king of light.
A king of light that carries a spear of light that can pierce any illusions. Mm. And his story was that he ended up having to slay the vision of a giant evil eye that was so full of poison that it could lay armies to death. So in this time where we need new stories, new focus, new visions, new ways of being, there was no better story to be engaging with. So this led how we formed our route down the country and how we are finding how the story laid across the countryscape. We started in Tory Island, where Lou was conceived. And we have followed his story crossing paths with Cian, his father, his mother, Ethna.
Walking in the northwest of...
of Donegal. Mm-hmm. Donegal. So our journey brought us from Tory Island into a place called Mahalarty. Tory Island is 8 miles off the coast of North Donegal in the Atlantic Sea. It's class. They have this such interesting landscape of dramatic cliffs on one side, which I got told was the pagan side, the wild side. Mm-hmm. And on the west is flat, pilgrim, rock, stony, Spartan land. Such a dramatic difference for a 4 mile wide island. That's apparently the Christian side. The Christian tribe drinks out of a well that is brackish from the bog and full of iron, very dense, very heavy. The pagan side of the island, which is the east, the rise of the light, the sun, drinks out of a crystal clear well. Mm. How are there two different water sources like that at 8 miles off the coast of any mainland? That's some interesting stuff. And not only are there two wells on our island. Now, I couldn't get the same story out of the local people twice. But there could be anywhere from 6 to 21 wells on that island.
No way, really? Wow. It's such a small island.
And I reckon there's so many different types of water sources.
Oh, wow.
So it's fascinating to be following the water through the landscape, mm-hmm. following the rivers, following the wells, listening to the local held knowledge.
Mm. And the stories.
That are being passed from family down, from family down to family. And held in the minds of people. This journey has been listening to people's voice about what they know about the area and how their knowledge interrelates. You know, like the birth of Lou was then tracked we went over a mountain range, called the Seven Sisters.
Yes.
Now, the Seven Sisters apparently align with the Pleiades within the stars, mm-hmm. an energy of letting go. Muckish Mountain, which is the head of the Seven Sisters.
Let me just say, it is no small task to climb over those Seven Sisters.
No, 666 feet above sea level. And it is a plateau that is straight up on the sides. We were very much vertical in the climb on the way up there, carrying all of our luggage, well, nearly all of it. We had two members be very kind and take our front pack so we could do the climb without fear of falling off the side of the mountain. We discovered glass sand mine, sand that is fine for optical glass,
oh.
that would have created links with the Romans,
yes.
many, many generations ago, and Roman
glass.
Artifacts had actually been found up there. So it's very interesting. We're following a story about a change of site, and here we are on the side of a mountain in a miner's place that was specific for glass for eyewear.
Mm.
We climb up this mountain and we get to the top, and there is one of our cairns, and it's a big cairn. It's connected with Queen Maeve. Queen Maeve was known.
You have to explain what a cairn is.
Oh, a cairn. A cairn is one of our sacred sites that we've got. Generally, there are three chambers off a central chamber that goes in, and they are pointed in different directions to catch the light from the different seasons coming in.
The doorway, the entrance is aligned.
Absolutely. These are in glittering detail, like the one in Carrickeel, which we'll be visiting, is a sacred site further down the line. That has a window box with a keystone in it. A keystone has a keyhole cut out of the center of the block. The only other one is Newgrange, and the light will actually hit through the keystone and back. Now,
yeah.
that has been tracked to a 21 or 28 year lunar cycle,
right.
that keystone is at.
In
Carrickeel.
Oh, I'm going there tonight.
Well, do enjoy. It is such a landscape. It overlooks Loch Arrow, Loch Key. We'll be visiting Loch Arrow after Carrickeel, and that will bring us to part of Lou's story, which is the Battle of Maitura. So Lou's story goes down through the landscape, and that's what we're really, really following. But it's only one of the threads that we've been uncovering. You know, Queen Maeve, as I mentioned a minute ago, her cairn is up there. So we have touched in with Queen Maeve, and she would have been in her heyday. She would have been, you know, in her prime when she was helping build the cairn up in Muckish. So we've got this three-chambered enclosure that's covered over in limestone that generally would have had another layer of quartz. And it's a certain way of stone building called corbelling, which is overlaying the stones in almost like a Fibonacci spiral pattern. So the stone spiral inwards, and you get this dome-type shape that creates resonances for frequency to be used within these cairns. I innately feel from the experiences that I've had that these cairns all resonate at different sorts of frequencies, that if we can figure out the right frequencies, we can make these things sing.
Yeah.
But that's still underproving, and, you know.
That's what we're working on.
That's what we're working on. Active participation with the site. So because I believe that everything on this island and in this world is living, that humans are not the only things to have loneliness and experience loneliness. Trees, wells, rivers, landscapes, sacred sites are all needing active participation and presence in the way that you interact with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so along this walk, we have been lighting fires in and around amazing sacred sites, opening up spaces for community in the area to come in have a cup of tea by the fire and be an active participation with each other, but also with the area that they are in.
So I have been on this walk with you for the last couple of weeks.
Yes, thank you.
And I can attest to the fact that there is a regular flow of locals who come and sit around the fire, and there is a sharing of stories of the myths of the landscape, the stories of the land. And I am learning so much by sitting at that fire and just listening. Learning how to see the mountains and to know their stories, their names, and the powers that the mountains carry. So that leads me to my next question for you, which is, in the cleaning of the wells, which I have had the honor of witnessing you holding your sacred space as a priestess of the water, what have you learned? Can you share some like special little secrets from that the fairies have sang to you while you have been tending certain wells? Are there some wells that we must come and drink from? Share with us your wisdom.
my wisdom.
My cup. Here's my cup.
I don't know if there's much wisdom, but there's plenty of stories. And what I found with cleaning wells, and the reason I went into cleaning wells and active participation, was I was dying with loneliness. Mm. I was feeling very unseen, very unheard. I was living in an area that there wasn't many people like me. And my daughter was just coming to her phoenix stage, and I was experiencing loneliness in my daughter growing up. Mm-hmm. And I found that by my act of participation, by cleaning the well, I in turn ended up cleaning my own emotional state.
I found that as well.
Do you know that this is a way of loving yourself as much as loving what's in front of you?
Cleaning out the wells inside of ourselves.
And you know, this is giving the active physicalization of your experience to a measurable result of the satisfaction that you can feel when you sit back with that cup of tea and hear that well bubbling and gurgling, and you have a satisfaction that you have done something good that day. And for no other reason but because you can. And it helped me let go of anything that was not that simple.
So let's go back to the wells that you're going to tell us that we should go to.
Well, it depends on what you want.
Yes, tell us some cures.
Okay, so
some wells on the map for us.
There are wells that are very quiet. They are good places to sit and have reflection. Most wells are like that, but some wells are busier than others. So a well that's in the locality that would be one of my favourite in the area is called Tubber na Nalt. Tubber na Nalt, which is the well of the cliff. And it just lies outside of Sligo. And this well is kept by the community, a community that thinks about the caring of the water. Quite often communities look at the outward appearance of how things are landscaped but neglect to clean the water, which is actually why we're there, is that water source. But Tubber na Nalt is one of those communities that really consider the condition of the water. It's a cure for the bones inside there, so most of the cures would be attributed to the mineral composition, but also the years of faith and belief that people have put in with their prayers and believing that this water works. Mm-hmm. You know, unified intention, going back not only this generation, but generations for his time before Christianity, when these wells were still used by the people. Mm-hmm. I am actually found a lot of gratitude in Christianity, sanctifying most of these wells, because the wells that were not put into careship of the church at the time have disappeared.
Yeah, it's very sad to see that.
And part of my mission on the well map, I have 2,199 wells on my well map, and I am slowly working my way through that to find what wells still exist, what wells are working, what wells are beyond repair, you know, documentation of stories, lore, songs, music. It's a huge task.
It so is a lifelong task for you, sister.
Everybody is a welcome to get involved, because the more active participation and more people that feel the empowerment that they too can do something this simple, which is go and sit by the well and be present with who you are and your experience of what you're feeling, and then actively do something with that for the benefit of no other reason but the to honor, to be in grace with the very thing that held space for you to work out everything going on inside your mind and body.
Don't always know that you know. Listen.
I visited well in Galway. And I love this well because it comes and goes with the tide. So as the tide goes out, the well rises up.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
And it's a place that really gardens my heart, St. Augustine's Well. Really, really beautiful, beautiful just space.
You have to send me that.
Yeah, so let's swap wells. And wells and water in Ireland is almost currency, you know. You arrive at a fire and someone will say, hey, I have got some St. Bridget's water.
Ooh.
And I go, ho, 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 I've got a bit of Tubman and Alt water for the bones.
Indeed, there is that tradition of collecting the waters of the world, bringing them into ritual, blessing ourselves with that.
Mm.
Okay, so tell us what your Facebook page is, Shulankak.
I can. Okay, so the project that has been in act the last 4 years is All Is Well on Facebook. So you can see my journey. Since beginning the walk, I'm lapsed with the frequency of posting on the page, but I do try and keep up to date with the wells that I'm coming across by walking. And the walk itself is Shulankak. Now, if you're struggling with this spelling, it might be easier to click on to fairycouncil.ie, which is a project that we put in the foundation stones before we started walking. And we're hoping to pick up again, which it will be an umbrella project for all of the innovative projects on the island working under Talav, which is land, Crown, which is trees, Ishka, which is water, Imbas, which is inspiration, because you can't forget inspiration in Ireland, and ancient knowledge, which would be our stories and our Brehan laws and those. So it's still in the infancy stage, but hopefully once this walk has come to an end, tune in on either journey, you'll find links to the walk through the Fairy Council, FairyCouncil.ie, FairyCouncil.ie.
Perfect. On my land that I had the pleasure of living on in Southern Humboldt, there was a spring that fed the water that nourished me and my family down the hill, along the redwood roots, down to my home, to my garden, to my family. And at that spring, I created an altar. I hiked up a little step, actually it wasn't so little. I hiked up a statue of Kuan Yin up there. And every new moon and or full moon, I would go up there and I would make offerings to the spring. And of course, twice a year at least, I would go and clean the spring. And I found that over the many years of living there, it became an intimate relationship with that spring, that water that fed me, that came from the ground. And I can honestly say that that is such a source of not only healing, but as I walk through the world, I still hear the lessons, the stories that I heard while I was listening to the water bubble up out of the earth. Mm-hmm. And guides me and protects me and helps me be in the flow and just let things go. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage all my listeners out there to go to your spring, go to the water, even if it's just your tap, make a little altar to your water, an altar of gratitude, and go to it regularly, because the water listens to our voice and, like you said, gets lonely. So we enliven life with our gratitude and our presence and our participation in the relationship of being human.
Well, it's the experience of it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Always leave things better than what you found them.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, Sarah, thank you so much. Is there anything else, some pearl of wisdom that's bubbling up from inside of you that you would like to share with this listening audience?
The water can help connect us to our remembrance of who we are and who we choose to be. It always finds a way. Sinead and Gail.
What does that mean?
That's about it. That's the story now.
Sarah, thank you so much for everything, for bringing me here to this place. Thank you to the fairies. Thank you to the river. And I would like for you to please release the elements around us.
In this moment, hear everything. Give gratitude to everything that you hear. For in this listening, the space that has been held by calling in the directions can now be released. Thank you for listening, and thank you for hearing. Slán agus beannacht ti.
Blessed be. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
I give back. I am blessed with gifts, and I give back. I give back. I return. I am filled with abundance. I return. For when I feed you, I am nourished. No separation between you and I. And when I share with you, I have all I need. The well of spirit never runs dry. The well of spirit never runs dry. I give back. I am blessed with gifts, and I give back. I give back. I return. I am filled with abundance. I return. For when I feed you, I am nourished. No separation between you and I. And when I share with you, I have all I need. The well of spirit never runs dry. The well of spirit never runs dry. The well of love never runs dry. The well within never runs dry. The well of spirit never runs dry.
Greetings and blessings to you, listeners. My name is Sunshine Trisiter, and I am bringing you the Pagan Perspectives podcast. I am journeying around the world, and as I do, I am calling together the voices of the pagan community. So make yourself a cup of tea and come and join us for an inspirational sharing of pagan voices.